This episode of This Is Us Too is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. And believe it or not, while you're listening to this right now, MinuteWithMary.com is shipping to you free. Because we're all home, right? And we all want things shipped to us. We don't want to be going out into places and getting our things. So if you want to take good care of your skin, if you just want to do some self-love while you're meditating, while you're, you know, going for walks, and let's be real, we're eating all the snacks right now. But so while you're doing that, let's take care of your skin. Or let's throw on a fun lippy so when you're looking at your face while you're washing your hands a million times a day, you're like, dang, girl, that red lip looks good. Snap, snap. All right? Listen, I've got the hookup for you, especially for my best-selling mascara. It's my 40 Epic Mascara. You can find out more, especially with the discount, at MinuteWithMary.com/discount.
My wife got pregnant again. And to my great surprise, I found myself singing that very same song to that very same belly. And then 25 years later, I danced with my daughter to that song at her wedding. That song made us happy, it made us sad, made us happy again. The whole human experience just wrapped up in that one song. Hospital's kind of like that, you know. These bizarre buildings where people experience some of their greatest joys and some of the most awful tragedies. All under one roof. I think the trick is not trying to keep the joys and the tragedies apart, but you kind of got to let them cozy up to one another, you know, let them coexist.
Hi, Toby.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to This Is Us Too. It's a podcast dedicated to the show This Is Us on NBC. So sit back, relax, and let's all have a good cry. Hi, everybody, and welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and man, I'm still crying. Still crying.
And if I had Charmin to spare, I would be using that Charmin to wipe up my tears after that
episode. So much Charmin, but we don't have any Charmin to spare.
Literally hashtag all the feels.
Oh,
all
man.
Of the feels were captured in last night's season finale of This Is Us, and we're here to talk about it, and man, am I excited.
Yes, I'm quite excited too. This is
quite the episode. It's the episode that I feel like all of us needed. Just to be able to cry. I feel like everyone right now, we're of course dealing with the pandemic, the global pandemic, and everyone's feeling a lot of feelings, a lot of feelings that you don't necessarily want to have come out. And it's nice when you can cry over a TV show.
Right.
And it's nice when you can kind of get that out and have that release and not necessarily have the negative impacts if your feelings were stuff that you wouldn't, you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's a little bit of therapy. So thank you, This Is Us,
so, you know,
we needed that.
And in the spirit of This Is Us and in the spirit of the therapy that we all need, I want to do this exercise again. I want to do it again for the podcast listener, for everybody that's watching live on Facebook right now and anybody that's watching later on YouTube. Let's just do the lost exercise, okay? Life is weird right now. And life is hard, and it's tough, and we're all struggling to find some kind of normalcy. So let's let it in. Let the weird in for 5 seconds, okay? Just let it in. And if you're listening to Mary and Blake, and you know this process, we're going to do what Jack Shepherd says in Lost. We're going to let it all in for 5 seconds, and then we're going to let it go, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just so as a community.
Here we go.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now just get it out. Now. Get out the heebie-jeebies. Get out the anger. Get out the frustration. Get out all the weird. You let it in for 5 seconds. Here we are, and we're gonna do a good podcast episode. We're gonna talk about This Is Us. We're probably gonna cry. We're probably gonna have some fun, and we're gonna get to it. So that's that. Mary, today is your story. What do you got?
My story.
Yep.
Well, first and foremost, last week's episode of Randall laying it down, doing like kind of like an ultimatum with his mom, and I was saying to people like, I'm a lot like Randall. I need to let you all know that I pretty much Randalled my dad this week.
Oh, yes, she did.
Of course, with the pandemic going on, my dad is in that over 60 crowd, you know, the vulnerable crowd. And he was telling me how, you know, he's being careful, and he's probably listening to this podcast right now, saying, Mary, stop.
Don't tell stories about me.
it was Sorry. My favorite at Christmas. And he was like, you know, your family listens to your podcast. I was like, yeah, this is awkward. So
you're just going to have to get over it.
So we're on the phone, and you know, he's saying, you know, I'm gonna do these senior citizen hours, you know, shopping and all this stuff, and I could feel the anxiety in me building up. And I'm saying, but there's dad, there's Instacart, and me and Blake can go shopping for you. There's tons of other options that are much safer, and you should not be going. And all the scientific officials are saying this, and I was like, oh my, in my head, I'm saying, Mary, don't be Randall. Don't be Randall. Yeah. And
because I was here for this conversation.
It was like a FaceTime conversation, and Blake's literally sitting right next to me, grabbing my thigh, saying, calm down, Mary.
I could see it bubbling. I could see it bubbling. Oh, man.
And I, you know, and I said, Dad, you need to not do this. And he said, well, I'm nervous about you guys. I'm nervous if Blake goes food shopping. And I said, Blake will get sick. You will die. And the worst thing is that I won't even be able to say goodbye to you because they don't let anybody come in the hospital, and I won't even be able to bury you. I'll never see my dad again if you go food shopping.
Oh my God.
And I lost it.
Oh my God.
And I was like, raw. And I left the house in the middle of a freak snowstorm. I just left. I didn't say goodbye to Blake. I just left. I took the car keys, and I left. And I went up to the northern part of the state, which, mind you, I live in Rhode Island, so that was 20 minutes away because the snow was greater there. And I just parked in a deserted college campus because nobody's there. Once again, thank you, pandemic. And I just sat there watching the snow fall, catching my breath. And when I came back to where we live, and it wasn't snowing here, I was still mad, and I thought, oh my God, I just Randalled. So then I went running, because that sometimes works for Randall. And it wasn't working. And then, like, people were running away from me on the path because no one wants to be near a weird, crazy girl right now. And I just kept thinking, pretend Jack Pearson is next to you, like, cheering you on.
Some girl is just sobbing as she's running.
Yes. So just know,
not great, Bob.
Just know, friends, that I did exactly what I told you I would do just this week. It has nothing to do with this episode because I didn't do that.
That's but, fine. You know, it,
but
it
I was
is
last
it
week's Randall in real life. And yeah, it happens.
Well, before we get into the rest of this episode and Mary Randall's all of us. I wanted to remind you that you just go to maryandblake.com and check out all the podcasts that we got there, including Outlander Cast and Arise Up, the Hamilton podcast and the Crown podcast. And we got so many things. It's all happening all at once, including some blog series that we're doing as well. And if you want to get in touch with us during the break of This Is Us, hopefully it won't be get delayed because of the virus that shall not be named. You can just look us up on social media, just Mary and Blake, whatever we are. We're on YouTube, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, Twitter, all the things that we are capable of being on, we are on it. So if you want to email us, you can email us too, maryandblakemedia@gmail.com. We're ready. We're there to have some fun. We're there to chat some This Is Us and other podcasts that we got going on as well. So, all right, Marvin, you ready to get into this show?
Yes,
all right,
I am.
Let's do it.
Moral of the story, my dad now uses Instacart and did not go grocery shopping. Just thought I'd drop that in there. He'd be very proud.
Yes. Mr. Earl, if you're listening, I apologize for my bride. I apologize for her. You got Randalled. It's okay. It happens. You got Randalled.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did. Yep. You did. You got Randalled.
My stepmom said in a nicer way that it's my love language.
I think that was her being very diplomatic.
She did a very nice job.
She did.
Okay,
she did.
So episode details, break it down for me.
All right, so this one's called Strangers Part 2. And I know I've said this before and I'll say it again. I swear on everything holy, This Is Us writes for me and you, Mary. Like, I swear they do. Whether it was the E.T. references or they had some other references too in there.
Free Willy,
you know. They had some
Elijah Wood.
Elijah Wood. I swear they write for us because, man, they're doing another great bookend here. And the bookend, as you guys know, if you're a big fan of Mary and Blake, you know that we love bookends here at Mary and Blake Media.
Blake loves bookends. I don't always notice them.
And because obviously season 4 started with the episode Strangers Part 1.
I didn't even know the episode title of the show.
and it ends with Strangers Part 2.
This
whole season actually has kind of revisited a lot of things that have happened in previous seasons and recontextualize them, and Strangers Part 2 is no different there. It brings up a lot of different things that are happening throughout the whole mythology of This Is Us and recontextualizes them and actually gives us new ground to go forward on. So ending it in this manner for this season was very appropriate, I feel like, and I'm in on it. The director was Ken Olin, who has directed 40 Kabillion. I think that's the exact number, 40 Kabillion episodes of This Is Us. And the writer was Dan Fogelman. Dan Fogelman, you should know that name. It's because he's the creator and the executive producer and the showrunner, kind of This Is Us. He's written actually 14 episodes of This Is Us, including Strangers Part 1, Vietnam, 9 Bucks, Super Bowl Sunday, A Manly Splendored Thing, A Father's Advice, Moonshadow, Memphis, The Big Day, The Pool, Kyle, The Big Three, and the pilot of This Is Us.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly and obviously, since he is the showrunner, he gets a lot of the major episodes that have been written within the canon of This Is Us. And it makes sense. And you can tell that Fogelman wrote this. It has that style. It has that kind of bordering syrupy sweet look, feel to it, but also at the same time, crushingly awful feeling at the same time too.
Yeah.
So you can tell that Fogelman wrote this one.
Okay.
In my opinion. Lemonade ratings, Marvin, what do you got?
4.8. A really solid episode, but not my favorite.
Okay. You want to amplify that?
Okay. I'll amplify in the rest of this podcast episode.
I'm actually going to go higher on you. I'm going 4.9.
Okay. That like never happens.
No, it never really does. And you know, it's not a completely fair lemonade rating from me.
Okay.
Because I think on the whole, the episode's probably a 5. But I'm giving it a 4.9 because of where it is and some of the things that have happened during the season that you just kind of get left in the lurch on. And we'll talk about that later, but like it's entitled Strangers Part 2.
Yeah.
But where were the other strangers that we began in the first, the first episode of season 4?
Agreed.
What happened there? They were massive parts of the story. A lot of times we had to invest in them, and then where'd they go?
Hashtag who were they?
All right. So what's your GBG, Marvin? You're good, you're bad, and you're great.
My good is my goodness. OBs and midwives and anyone who's part of your pregnancy and birthing experience, they make such an impact on you. I know that for Blake and myself, the doctor who I worked with very closely during both of my pregnancies, we used to say she's like our smartest best friend.
Oh, absolutely.
She would come out of like nowhere with just these amazing phrases, and granted, nothing that comes to mind right now, like lemonades. But still, it was so impactful. And when you are working with someone during that aspect of life, which, you know, is a very special time, they can make a big impact on you. So I just want to like give a whole like heads up to all the OBs and all the midwives and all the people and the nurses who work with pregnant people. You are miracle makers, and you help a lot of people who are hormonally distressed. Just
sensitive, if you will.
Yes, yes. So I just loved seeing another person of that profession.
Yes.
My bad. Okay, two things. First off, Rebecca and Jack finally say the babies finally fall asleep on their first birthday.
Mm-hmm.
All three of them finally fell asleep. Then Jack's like, do you want to go for a ride? What? How about say, hey, after their nap, do you want to go for a ride?
No! God, please, no! No! No!
Whoever wrote that line
no!
was not a parent. Or at least not a parent recently.
Come on, Fogelman, get with it. Because you should know better than that.
Oh my God. When Jack said that, I wanted to rock up and literally say, are you kidding? Like, what? And there they go. And the kids are all happy. And I'm like, yeah, you know what's not going to be great? The witching hour.
Yeah.
Because those babies just got 10 to 15 minutes of a nap and they're going to be crazy.
Yep.
But my real bad is like what you said. Hashtag who are they? Okay. So a whole bunch of people that we met in the first episode of this season where we were like, why are we investing in these people we don't know? We have not seen them on this entire back half of the season.
Yeah, very little. Very, very little.
And then we meet a whole bunch of new strangers. And I didn't like the strangers, just like I didn't like the strangers in the first episode.
Sure.
And I'm sitting there saying, this is the finale. Why do you keep introducing me to new people? It's like... It's like when you're just in a new breakup and your mom or like a woman at church is trying to set you up with someone they know. And you're like, I don't want to be in anybody new right now. Like, just let me cry about Randall and Kevin in peace. Leave me alone. Am I great? Is that Beth is my patroness.
Oh, look at you.
You're a wizard, Harry.
I can't say my spirit animal because let's be real. Randall's my spirit animal.
Oh, yes.
Not in this episode, but I'm pretty much Randall. But Beth is who I want to be when I grow up. I love her timing. I love how she avoids drama.
Oh, yeah.
Like, avoids it, acknowledges it, but avoids it.
And she'll
so
get in
well.
On it. She'll get in on it when she needs to, but she will absolutely avoid it when she wants. When she's telling Rebecca, hey, let's get the kids, get out of here. And Rebecca's like, no, I got to do it. No. We are going.
Well done, Beth.
Yes, Beth.
Well done.
I like that. Beth is your patroness.
Yep.
I think that's a great idea.
Thank you.
That you nailed it, kiddo. You got it.
You're welcome.
All right, for me, the good. You know, I don't usually do this for goods, but I have to do this for the editing. And Julia, if you're listening, Julia Grove, you are my good, and you, my friend, are getting this. Julia, you make me want to shout.
Ooh.
Seriously, I cannot stress to you, my bride.
She's probably at home right now in some leggings, eating some of her snack food, which maybe it's pub cheese, just like me. Maybe just chilling out, having some Triscuits and pub cheese. Maybe
pretzel
she'll hear
fins.
That. Maybe she'll hear that from someone saying, you were Blake Larson in Cranston, Rhode Island, Providence area. His great.
In his basement.
Good. Oh, his good. Not
I'm
his
the
great.
Good.
The good.
But I gave you an outstanding, and I gave you an outstanding because I cannot stress to you again, my wife, and I cannot stress to you, the listener and the watcher on Facebook Live and YouTube right now, how difficult putting this episode together must have been. The amount of story, the amount of different timelines, the amount of different shots, all the different coloring, like, oh my, it's freaking Planet Zippy. I don't even know how she does it. I don't know how she did it. It's friggin' banana land. The very fact that she was able to make this not only a coherent story, but one that was well put together, well paced, and have it really flow, and you get the emotionality of what they really need. Julia Grove, you just knocked it out of the park, especially. The beginning montages of all the different birthday parties all at once.
Oh my gosh, yes.
The stuff with Rebecca.
The cakes
and how Rebecca's looking and making this all make sense. Oh my goodness. Like you nailed it. All right, but the bad. And Mary, this one kind of goes along with you. Where are Cassidy and Malik? Where's Gregory?
Hashtag who are they? Who the heck is Gregory?
Yeah, that's the neighbor.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. We've spent a lot of time with
is
these characters.
Is he
okay? I'm sure he's walking around somewhere.
Picking avocados.
Why wasn't he at the party? Where was he? Picking avocados? Come on, man.
Seriously, he should have an avocado basket for his birthday.
He should have that avocado already cut up, ready for little Jack
to eat. Some little guac.
Just a num on that bad boy.
Where is Gregory?
Gregory should have showed up. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he's got other things to do, apparently.
Maybe he was going to come late, like Madison, who came, what, 3 hours late?
Right.
What the heck, Madison?
So, I don't know. I'm just... When you start the season off with all these people and
forgot who Gregory was,
they're nothing more than a footnote and Mary forgets who Gregory is.
Well, especially because they were like, oh my God, these people are so important. And you're like, really?
Right.
Really?
Right. You know, and then you kind of mentioned too, like introducing all these new characters. Now that they're like tangential characters. Like they're, you know, we're getting, you know, Jack's adopted sister. Okay, we're getting the doctor that's Madison's OB, who I imagine will have a larger role in season 5.
And he said the word lemon, and I was very confused.
Yeah, we got some hot takes on that, I think. You know, and we got all these things, and you're adding all these people, and you're like...
At least Miguel was there.
But, like, I don't know, it's just... It's only natural for the show to... You know, as life gets longer and bigger, mm-hmm. You're going to expand. The tree is going to expand.
Yes.
So I get it. But we spent a lot of time with all these other people. And now you're just like, they're footnotes. And that's hard for me to accept. You know, like Cassidy's a big deal. I don't care what anybody says. She's a big deal.
Not anymore.
But apparently she still is because she shows up at the end in this little teeny tiny... way.
Because they showed all these ladies that, like, who does Kevin end up with? Is it Mama Mia but backwards? Are they all pregnant at the same time?
So, I don't know. But the great for me, first of all, anytime that Gerald McCraney shows up and plays Dr. K, he is going to be my great. He could have two words.
Yes.
And he is going to be my great.
Agreed.
And it's funny because I went back and rewatched Deadwood. And then I watched the Deadwood movie. Now, what you don't know, Mary, because she hasn't watched it with me, is that Gerald McCraney actually plays the big bad.
Okay.
He's the big bad guy. And he is not a good guy in that show.
I bet he's excellent at being bad.
And he's great at being bad. Like, he's legitimately awesome. Like, Tobias Menzies level good in Outlander being bad. And then seeing him against that in the Dr. K role.
Okay.
Oh, man. It's whiplash, but it's like whiplash in the best way.
Awesome.
But the real great for me is obviously the argument between Kevin and Randall.
You love a good argument.
And the tension that was there, but really specifically Ken Olin's directing. That... The way the camera moved around them and the whole argument, as soon as Kevin closes the front door, that entire argument is done in one cut. There's not multiple cuts. They didn't change. They didn't edit scenes. That was one single cut.
I did not even notice that. How do you notice these things?
It's because I'm a dork. That's how I notice these things. Because of that, it not only was the acting great and the writing even better, but the direction makes it real. It makes it like you are there in that argument with them. There's no splitting back and forth. The camera just moves. It glides around them. And it was so good that you didn't even notice it. That's how you know you've done an excellent job. This is the kind of stuff that you're looking for when you're watching This Is Us. This is the stuff that you need.
Love.
This is the stuff that makes it an exceptional television show.
Love.
So that is my great. Are you ready for the big three feedback?
Sure am.
Let's do it.
And we said,
that's three.
Big three?
Big three!
Kicking things off, Megan Elizabeth Drake says it's a 4.7 lemonades for her. I really enjoyed it and think the theme of taking the joys and sorrows together was beautiful. But, and especially in contrast to the focused power of the last few episodes, it felt scattered and distracting because of the new characters. Megan's good was Toby and Kate were sweet and wonderful in the way that we first fell in love with them. Their honest conversation in the NICU was marriage at its finest, and loved the humor and joy of the van conversations. I'm very excited about their adoption story, and as an only child, I'm so happy Jack will have a sister. Her bad was too many characters that were distracting, and I'm not sure we should expect we'll have Revelance in the future. And I'm also just have to say that I think Randall's comments and spitefulness were just too much as well. I don't mind strong things being said in the heat of the fight and the heat of the moment, but I felt like it was a huge undermining of Randall's character. We know he has issues, but he's just gotten less and less likable to where they don't feel like they are just issues anymore, but rather a very selfish and even unkind person.
Yes. We call that a character arc, ladies and gents.
And her great was Mandy Moore. Wow, wow, wow. With each episode, I am more and more impressed by her acting. But oh my goodness, this was amazing to feel the conflict of her sadness at the loss of her baby and the conflict as she tried to convince her family St. Louis was her idea, but was 1,000% believable and relatable. She has embodied joy with the sorrow, this whole show, and I think she'll be the glue that pulls her family back together. I want more and more of her story as the Big Three mom, and I think we are going to see her and Madison grow very close, which will be beautiful.
That will be interesting. Ooh. Nice hot take. Nice hot take. I like that. All right. The next one comes from Ellen Hanwright. She says, 5+ lemonades. This is a special one for Ellen. She says, the fight between Kevin and Randall. I know it felt awkward to watch, but I'm actually glad it finally got all aired out in the open. I was getting tired of all the pent up emotions between the two of them. It was like ripping a Band-Aid off. The good too. Second good. Beth in her that.
Yes.
Mary is famous for that, but her famous thing is interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. Or interesting. That's a choice.
I use that one a lot.
That's a choice,
Blake.
That's
a choice.
So I know when I get the that's a choice, I know I'm doing something very stupid. but that sound made Ellen laugh so hard. We've all been in that situation where someone does something questionable and you have no words to say to them other than in that high-pitched tone. The great was Dr. K, another one of his marvelous speeches. It sounds like a children's book. I love a good Dr. K speech, and this one was no exception.
Agreed.
And of course, in 5+ fashion, she follows the rules. She does the good, the great, and the best.
Yay, Ellen!
Her best is all the future scenes and the questions they leave me asking. Mm-hmm. Jack has an adopted sister. Didn't see that coming at all. Also love that Jack called his daughter Hope. I'm so glad Kevin gets to fulfill his wish of being a dad.
Yes.
And to twins,
yes,
nonetheless. So many awesome twists. Bring on season 5. What's the next one, Mary?
Man, the Pearson men of Super Sperm. Right?
Yes, they do.
Holy smokes. Let's see. Eco Blankson Walker says, this was 5 lemonades for sure. The good was seeing Rebecca and Jack cope with the loss of Kyle. He is not mentioned much, so it was really great to have them see Dr. K again for that fatherly advice. Beth was pretty good, too. Now, her bad was watching Kevin and Randall duke it out on the lawn. I thought someone was going to throw a physical punch, but they didn't need to do with all the literal punches that they kept throwing. Randall's words to Kevin ended up directing him to my other good, that he committed to Madison and the twins, but sadly I think we are being set up for a grand love story with Madison that does not pan out for the distant future, because it will all be an act coming from Kevin's big-heartedness. And a great and actual horse giving us a great piece of advice. Plus, I knew Kate and Toby would have 2 kids, a boy and a girl. They basically told us as much with the time capsule when Kate's MASH game had her married in a mansion with 2 kids. And I also knew that another pregnancy would be too risky, so adoption would be perfect option for the rich storyline for Kate and Toby. Seeing her all grown up with baby Jack becoming a father was the perfect icing on a cake of touching finale.
Yes, I would agree. I would absolutely. Oh, by the way, I forgot to do this. I forgot to give you this. It's absolutely a horse.
Agreed.
Abso-freaking-lutely a horse. Man, forgot to do that. Sorry, ladies and gents. So, you know, something was brought up here, and Mary, I can't wait to get your take, which is, Randall, is he a likable character right now? Is he someone that you can actually root for? I mean, this whole back half of this season really has been focused on Randall and how he's been manipulated and how he is manipulating events and people around him. Because of all the stuff that has happened, primarily because of his anxiety, do you think Randall is a likable character?
Yes.
Why do you think that he... I mean, this is... I'm not saying that's a nuclear take, but that's a hot magma lava spewing out of a volcano take.
I think Randall deserves grace. I think Randall deserves people rewatching the previous seasons during the off season. This is a adopted black man who lived in a white family who he never knew about his biological birth dad, who was still alive until he was 36 years old, only to find out that his mom lied to him this entire time. Mm-hmm. And he lost his dad in a heartbreaking fire. This is a man who's had a lot of issues, who has not probably seen a therapist, been able to deal with them in a healthy way, mm-hmm. and is very high functioning, is a very intelligent, high functioning individual who for a long time, most of us have liked. Now, a lot of us hopefully have fantastic lives and we stay a very steady course of being true to who we are and being pretty much a consistent person. But I hope that there's a lot of you listening right now who say, you know what? I went through this time in my life that I'm not proud of.
Sure.
I went through this time in my life where it was actually a dark part where I was battling something and I either turned myself off from society or mm-hmm. I made really unhealthy emotional or physical or, you know, substance issues, or I did some damaging things to people. You know, maybe you went on a dating spree and you like dated a whole bunch of people and were totally rude and terrible to them. Maybe you took up a really bad hobby. Maybe you used to be racist and you aren't anymore, but that was still part of your past. Mm-hmm. People change and people evolve. And my hope is that Randall can evolve, that this is a peak of his anxiety, that this is him finally digesting some things. And it's terrible that it's coming out this way.
Sure.
But I have hope that there is still good in Randall. Mm-hmm. I really do. If you can love Snape, you need to have hope.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Yes, you need. If you can love Snape, you can love Randall. We see Kevin.
He just needs to do something selfless next season. If not, he's no Snape.
I've got a feeling he will.
I know, that's what I'm saying. He's gonna. I hope he redeems himself.
I'm sure that he will. And part of that, and part of that feeling is seeing Kevin put his hand on his brother's shoulder in the flash forward. What upsets me about that a little bit is because we go from that like heart-wrenching, like knife to the throat conversation between Kevin and Randall, and we're living in that, and it was directed and written and acted so
impeccably.
Like,
well,
it was one of the most incisive and dramatic things This Is Us has ever done. It was similar to the argument between Jack and Rebecca back in season one of Moonshadow, if you recall that argument where she's like, that's ridiculous. Remember that one?
No.
Where they're just screaming at each other. This is the
over
one.
What were they fighting about?
About her career. And she was going to go. Remember, she was going to go with the ex-boyfriend with the band.
Yes, yes.
And Jack finds out and she has to drive him home because he got drunk and they got in, you know, the whole thing. That was rough to watch. But this one was especially, I mean, direct and just plain awful, because you know the one with Jack and Rebecca was tough, but this one was specifically angry and things were said that you just it'd be hard to come back from.
Fight happen in earlier seasons when we were not on the Kevin train, when Kevin was an alcoholic.
I was always on the Kevin train. Sorry.
Okay, but when the majority of people were yes. not on the Kevin train, when Kevin was making bad choices, when Kevin was being a selfish jerk,
yep.
had this same fight happened then, which it could have happened then. Obviously, these guys have had these little, you know, little trolls, little demons on their shoulders whispering this in their ear for their entire lives. Mm-hmm. You know, we probably would be all here shaking our finger at Kevin.
Sure.
Because in that time, we were seeing the negatives of Kevin. Kevin was being in a bad place. So my hope, I mean, what do you think? Do you think Randall is a likable character?
As of this moment, I don't. I get annoyed with him because I know that he's wrong.
No, I agree. He's definitely wrong.
I get what he's going through. I sympathize and I empathize because I've been there. Mm-hmm. I've done things that I'm not proud of. I've said things that I'm not proud of. And there are times in my life where I just couldn't get anything right. And I wanted things my way. I did them and I hurt people.
I mean, I don't want to be Randall's best friend right now.
No, not at all.
But I'm saying I'm keeping hope
so
for him.
Is he likable? Yes, because I know he's the kind of character that can redeem himself. That's why he's likable.
And I also like
And he's got Beth on his side.
Because fights with your family are the worst. Because the arguments that you have, the things that you have held on to, you have literally held on to your entire life.
Right.
You can bring those people up the highest they've ever been. You can help those people in their greatest times of sorrow better than anyone else can, but you can also hurt them.
You can rip them.
Better than anyone else.
Absolutely. And when Kevin looks at him and says, you know, hand to God, the day they brought you home was the worst day of my life. And, you know, that on top of... you did nothing to save Dad, because I would have walked through literal fire to get him, and you just let it happen. Like,
but then on top of that, Randall throwing in that Dad died ashamed of you.
Right? Yeah, and they're both they're both taking their insecurities and just taking the knife and just jabbing it. Like,
I just
slowly.
Want them to go to like a paint night. And like, listen to some music and paint their emotions.
Yeah, Kevin's would, I think Randall's would just be a big dark room, you know, just the color black, you know, just bum, 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 you know,
just sadness.
But my question to you and kind of how I got into this was, do you think that they undercut some of that ugliness and they undercut some of the drama by once having that argument? And then within a couple of scenes, having the flash forward and Kevin touching his brother's shoulder, being like, it's okay, man.
I think we needed that hope.
You think so?
I think for it being a season finale, if we were left with this fight, with this big of a dig, because to me, that is a sibling fight. Mm-hmm. Now, you have not had that kind of a throwdown.
No, not that kind of a throwdown. I mean, I've had throwdowns, but not like that. That's
extreme.
That's something.
I've had some pretty serious fights with my brother.
Yeah.
Not that extreme, but pretty extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that one of the greatest blessings is that, like, my brother and I can make up. And I think that that is hopefully what a lot of siblings can do, is that, you know, you grow up having little fights here or there, you know, over Legos or over someone coming in your room when you don't want it, and then it becomes bigger fights and even bigger fights.
Yeah.
And hopefully, because this is the person who's known you your entire life, who can be there for you as you age, hopefully you will have time to mend that. I know my mom, for example, like, went through terrible stuff with her brother.
Sure.
And now they're in touch like multiple times a week. Mm-hmm. Very different people, but I think that that is a very true thing of siblings, that you can go through some really tough stuff, but especially when it comes to the fact that we're all mortal. Mm-hmm. And we're all going to die, and that, you know, words hurt, but hopefully you can recover from those wounds, can make a big difference.
So the writing in this scene is spectacular. That is, everything is funneled down. I mean, it begins with Kevin walking out of the house and saying, okay, we're going to do this right now. All right, let's be honest. Let's do it. This not only has it been building throughout all of the seasons, because we've had the ebbs and flows with Kevin and Randall, like,
yeah,
up and down, you know, left and right. I mean, they've been great. They've been bad. They've helped each other. They've not helped each other. But you can see the plan here. I think a lot of people got frustrated with This Is Us, maybe even in the back half too, even though I've really enjoyed the back half. You can see the specific plan here and how they brought in specific things throughout the season, but really the back half, to lead to this one moment. I mean, the plan is very evident. I mean, between the conflict of Randall and how slow burning it was in seasons past, but really this season, and how it related to Rebecca, the what if scenario, the what if episode, what if Jack lived, how that plays with Randall's emotions, how that plays with Kevin's emotions.
It's a lot.
And how that conflict rises in his own decision to move forward with Madison and becoming a loving father who will be the love of his life. Kevin spent that whole episode with Sophie thinking she's the love of my life. And it's not. It's going to be his two kids that are the love of his life.
Oh, I love it.
Right? Having him be all in each of these episodes and how each decision is interwoven between these two characters, along with Rebecca, how each certain thing leads to this argument, and then how they each play on each other's own decisions in their own insecurities and their own realizations they've made over these past episodes. Mm-hmm. Whether it is Kevin thinking that he could have done better than Randall. Randall, you're not as great as you think you are. You're a mess. And Randall talking about Kevin's acting and how all stale performances, he isn't worth anything. All of these things have led to this one moment. And that is just, it's writing that you, it's a privilege to watch.
Agreed.
There's a plan. You know, there's something that you can look at it and say, oh, okay. And it takes this culminating moment to say, this is what we're doing. And like, you know, if you're listening to Outlander Cast, you know that I've been frustrated with the episodic feel of Outlander this year. Because I feel like there's no plan. I feel like they're just doing things to do them. We had a big conversation about moments versus scenes. And there have been moments in This Is Us, and the Kevin and Randall moment, that argument, is a moment. Absolutely. It's one I'll never forget. But it was a scene. Mm-hmm. That is a scene that anything could have happened between these two characters. Anything. And the worst case scenario actually did fracking happen.
Yeah.
So that there's the big difference right there. That's when you know you've got incredible, incredible, incredible writing. Is there anything else you want to talk about when it comes to Randall and Kevin? Do you think we got it all out? Do you think you need some more?
Kevin's going to be a dad. Oh, about Randall and Kevin? Yeah, I'm done with them. I'm done with them.
What do you mean?
Oh, I'm done talking about it. I'm emotionally tuckered.
I got it. Okay. Well, let's talk about the Madison thing real quick.
Yep.
Because I think you called it. I think you did. And I'm going to play this for you.
Bam! Just like that. A winner!
Because I think you deserve it. Because you're the one that said Madison was the one that was going to be the pregnant lady.
Thank you.
I think thematically, it's a little bit of a downer for me. I was hoping it was Cassidy. I would have liked that a little bit more.
Hey, Cassidy could also be pregnant. Once again, my Mamma Mia but backwards theme still may be true. Aside from Sophie not being pregnant with Kevin's baby.
I think the other thing that kind of works with this is that Kevin has spent so long thinking of his parents' big, beautiful, love, lasting relationship, the one that is one for the books, one mm-hmm. for the fairy tales. And we have all wanted him to have that kind of love, that sweeping relationship. We had that fake out with the girl that was already
the
married.
Coffee shop girl.
Yeah.
Sucks.
We wanted him to have the coffee shop girl. Not literally, but that kind of thing. And I think back to M. Night Shyamalan in that episode when he says, this is the ending that they want. They just don't know. They don't know it. And the ending, we want Kevin to have that love. We want Kevin to have that relationship.
Listen, Kevin can take Madison to her Hawaiian vacation like I've always said she deserves.
Yeah, but it's not even about Madison for me.
I know.
It's about the fact that that love, that storybook love is with his kids.
Oh my gosh.
Right? So it's the ending that we want, but we just didn't know we wanted it.
Yes.
And I give them credit. I really do give them credit. Do you think Madison is the one that he's actually married to? Because in the flash forward, we see that he's wearing a wedding ring.
Yes. And in the, 6 months from now, he says, my fiance is pregnant.
Yes, I would agree.
So,
I would agree.
On that, as much as it pains me to say that I think he's that is who he marries. Because, of course, they show Cassidy and they show Sophie at the end. And it leads you to think, like, okay, he's going to be there for the children, but is he going to romantically end up with Madison? Is he going to romantically end up with Sophie or Cassidy? Why the heck are we showing pictures of these people? #WhoAreThey? but if 6 months from now, Kevin has gotten another broad pregnant.
That's going
to
be problematic.
And proposed to her while Madison's giving birth to his twins, it'd be a little weird, right? Mm-hmm. So he has to become engaged and end up with Madison. Or otherwise, he'd be a real jerk. Like, if Cassidy's also pregnant, and he's like, I'm really sorry, Madison, but I'm going to marry Cassidy. Or, I'm sorry, Madison, that you're pregnant with my twins. I'm actually going to go marry Sophie. He has to marry Madison.
I don't know.
He has to propose to her.
I think he might.
His fiance is pregnant. If Kevin impregnated and he now has three babies, big three of his own, congratulations.
The only thing that makes it work is if Madison says, I don't want to be with you.
Yeah,
because he never specifically says, okay, let's get married, let's get engaged.
He says,
I'm going to be all in. I'm going to give you all the money. I'm going to give you everything that you need. I am all in. He doesn't say, let's get married. And I wonder if Madison says, nope. I can't be with you.
But
I don't
whoever
know
he marries, whoever he proposes to, whoever his fiance is in 6 months from now is pregnant.
Agreed.
And that's going to be really weird
if he's having
babies from two different women at the same time.
I think the fiance that we're talking about in that flash forward with the birthday is Madison. I absolutely think that. But I don't know if he's going to be married to her in the future.
I'm totally on board with that.
Okay.
But I will say that the banter that he and Madison had prior to their rumpy pumpy, I quite enjoyed. I just found them being very real. And unlike the coffee shop girl who knew that Kevin was this big famous person,
sure.
Madison, of course, knows who he is. Madison, you know, doesn't have a supportive family. She doesn't have anyone really close. And here she could be now joining one of the best families, granted, now is not their prime moment.
Yeah. They've had a better look recently.
Past couple of years haven't been so great.
Yeah.
But she could be marrying into this family, which I think would be a really sweet gift for Madison. I think she's always been a sweet friend. And I've always said, like, I wish that she had a little bit more friendship to blossom. So I don't know. I'm down. I think that she's the fiance in 6 months. I think if he's knocked up another woman within this time, I'm going to feel really awkward.
Speaking of relationships with Kevin, I have to talk about Nikki and Kevin. Their relationship is one of the
great highlights.
Oh my
gosh, I thought there
was
another girl that I didn't know about. I thought you were talking about like a girl named Nicole. And I'm like, hashtag, who are they?
Uncle Nikki and Kevin.
Yes.
Their relationship is one of the highlights of This Is Us. And
so when good.
And he's like,
The sneakers.
He's just ranking on them
the
for the sneakers.
Commercial.
I don't know. You're advertising your nipple. Like,
I loved it. Nikki, who's married?
Who is married.
In the like last scene.
Yep.
When we see dying, like pretty much Lord of the Rings, the king in the white castle with the white tree, who's like dying because he's cursed. That version of Rebecca, Nikki has a ring on.
Yes, that's right. So
who does Nikki marry?
And you know, part of me wants to say that he's married to Rebecca. Because there's no Miggy hanging around.
Rebecca
Miggy ain't
gets
there.
Around.
I know. I don't think that's the case. I don't think so.
Mick is like, are you a guy that I know? Cool.
Yeah, right.
We
awesome.
Can get married.
Some circles have been saying that Nikki is married to Cassidy.
Okay.
I don't think I'm on board with that.
Hey, I need to see them a little bit more together.
Yeah. I'm not 100% sure yet. But, you know, when Kevin says, hey, you know, tomorrow is my 1 year of sobriety, and I think it's great.
The king of Theoden of Rohan.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank
Theoden.
You.
Theoden.
Sorry. Hold on. Theoden. Thank
Nerd!
I haven't gotten my new glasses prescription because of everything that's going on.
But thank you, Rachel. Facebook
you,
Live
Rachel.
Is correcting us. It's Rohan, not okay, Gondor.
Thank you. That's part of our quarantine list is to rewatch The Lord of the Rings.
Absolutely. We will absolutely be doing that. When Kevin says, oh, it's been my year and it's tomorrow, he's like, good, then I'll say congratulations tomorrow. Like, and then he's like, yeah, I've always, you know, I miss your loving sense of relationships to Uncle Nikki, which is great. But, you know, also too, It brings me back to Randall because they have this great moment between them where Randall actually says to Kevin, hey, congratulations. You know, 1 year, that's it.
Why doesn't Nikki come to the party?
You know, that's a good question.
Because he lives there, right? No. Or is he East Coast?
He's East Coast.
Never mind.
Yeah, he's East Coast.
Okay.
Again, the writing is just so spectacular, and it's about arcs. It's about relationships, good relationships, and that going from Randall saying, "Hey, congratulations on the 1 year." That's a really big deal. Like that's a really big deal for Kevin and Randall. There's no like, "Hey, everybody, look!" It's like no. Randall brings that up himself.
Yes.
And to go from that to Dad died ashamed of you.
Oh, that's what I mean. Siblings can do that. They could be like, I appreciate you and you're like most important moment and this is such a big deal. And then I'm going to gut you like a fish because I know your Achilles heel.
Right. And actually, Entertainment Weekly, Dan Snearson actually had an interview with Justin Hartley and it was just recently published and they talked about this. And the question was, well, that finale was darker than expected.
Yeah, yeah.
The first thing that struck me was how neither Kevin nor Randall even raised their voice. Yet it was by far their most devastating fight. What was your first reaction when you read the script and saw those words being hurled?
Nice.
And Justin Hartley replied, I envisioned it like when you're wielding a knife on someone and you can either stab them like a violent stab, like a horror film, or you can just take the knife and slowly let it just go into the gut and turn it really slowly. You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
That's what they were doing to each other. It was slow and painful and awful. And what's worse, it's just rip the Band-Aid off or just take it off really, 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 really slowly.
Oh my God, like each of the little dots of the Band-Aid. You know the dots?
And just watch the person suffer. I mean, it was bad. It was like, I'm going to say this. If I scream at you, then you might think that I'm just reacting to something and I'm overreacting. But if I say it and I'm calm, you know that this is what I actually think. I mean, that's some terrible stuff they said to each other, you know?
Yes.
I really like that. I think of Saving Private Ryan, you know, at the end when the guy, they're fighting in the room and he takes the knife and he just shoves it slowly in the other guy's chest as he's begging him to not do that. That's what was happening between the two of them.
You remember so much more about things than I do in shows and movies.
Again, it's because I'm a dork. That's what happened.
I remember how they made me feel.
Yes, and that's good television. That is good movies. You remember how things make you feel.
Good.
And that is a commandment of Mary and Blake Media. It doesn't matter if things are good or bad, but do they make you feel?
Well, this gave me hashtag all the feels.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and you know what didn't get all the... Oh, you
said... No, go ahead. What do you got?
You know what didn't get all the feels that people wanted? This super special thing. Toby's super special thing that nobody gave any feels about on screen.
Nobody cared.
I loved it. They were like, okay, we're going to go do this thing now. How perfect was that? I did not see that coming. Of course, like Blake and I, both of our children were born at full term. So, and we didn't have any like NICU complications. And so it gave us another insight into an aspect of NICU families. I didn't know that was a thing, but it makes sense that you would go and put up your child's picture. You know, that this is a child who is now like blossoming in the world. And for them just to go and have that moment of reflection, I just thought was so tender and beautiful.
Right.
And then they're talking about adoption, which look at that arc and look at that circle of This Is Us, you know?
Absolutely.
Of course, Randall was adopted. This is a huge thing in their family. They're acknowledging that it would be very difficult for Kate to have another. There's been many mentions in pretend universes of Kate having two kids, whether it was in the like Jack is Alive scenario, she had two kids, or in MASH, she had two kids when she was doing a little time capsule thing.
Yep.
I will say in that episode, in those moments where I think Dr. Kate was having some voiceover parts about like how you have to, you know, the good and the bad, how you have this balance of it. Blake and I were both nervous that Kate was going to be killed in this episode.
Absolutely.
And there's this shot of Toby like carefully trying to buckle in Jack, which he was fumbling with. And I'm like, oh my God, why are we zooming in on a car seat? Why are we zooming in on a buckle to acknowledge that Jack is buckled in?
Mm-hmm.
And I said to Blake, there's going to be a car accident. Kate's going to die.
Right.
Why are they zooming in on a belt buckle? So that at least we'll be like, okay, the baby didn't die. Mm-hmm. Like, and we know he doesn't. We've seen Jack grow up.
Right.
And, you know, they stop their car and they say, okay, we've left the hospital. Do we still want it? Yeah, I still want it. And both Blake and I were no joke holding our breath, ready for a car to come like sideswipe Kate.
Right. We thought it was absolutely coming. Like we thought it was coming.
And then it didn't happen. We were like, oh.
Okay, good.
Oh, okay. Thank you, This Is Us. And I'm pretty sure that was before the fight.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Yeah, so because we're ready for this like very emotional.
But I wonder if that was intentional. Because if it was intentional, that's really good directing. Because
we're all nervous Kate's going to die.
Right.
It's
something that they have in their back pocket.
Yeah.
They know it. So now they can start playing with you.
Yeah.
Like
they're going to make Kate do really dangerous things. Like they're going to be like, Kate's like, oh, I really want to take up tightrope walking. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to go like swim with killer sharks. And no, stop.
No, we're not doing that.
Kate needs to stay inside. She needs to take her vitamins.
She needs some social distancing.
Yes, Kate needs some social distancing. So that way we know that she's alive in the finale. Because all those, the big three need to be at the tree. When Rebecca dies.
Yep. And
well, not when she dies later.
If it was intentional, that is really good directing. And if it was not intentional,
then Blake we're really good directors in our minds.
I know. Then if it wasn't intentional, I think it was a really happy accident.
Agreed.
And I say that because when you can take someone's expectations and play with them and subvert them in the best way and in meaningful and unexpected ways, like, I know I've done this now a couple of times, but do you remember in Game of Thrones, hashtag spoilers, and right before the Battle of the Bastards, the bad guy, Bolton, the kid.
Yeah.
The dog kid. Let's the brother run across the battlefield.
Oh my God.
And he starts shooting the arrows.
Yes. And he's like making it a little bit like he's.
Yeah. Yeah. And. You know, everything happens in writing and in shows, everything happens in threes. So you're expecting on the third one, the third arrow, that he's going to get hit and he's going to die.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that. No. Miguel Sapochnik chose to make three arrows happen and all of them miss. And the music swells and you think that this kid's going to live. Yes. And then all of a sudden, as he's running to John, boom, out of nowhere, a fourth arrow, kid dies.
Deadly
and it breaks your heart, and all of a sudden, your expectations have been subverted. And that is what I mean by, if this whole buckling thing was real, it's similar to that.
Well, because also, during that was the voiceover of the good and the bad, and we're like having these happy conversations about how Jack-Jack is now thriving, and how, you know, let's look toward the future, towards adopting, and in our minds, we're like, okay, maybe Toby's going to go through with adopting even without Kate.
Right, exactly.
And this is going to happen, and it's okay, and I'm bracing for impact, and it didn't happen, but it came in a different way.
Jayla Cray says Ramsey Bolton. Yes, Ramsey Bolton. Thank you very much. That's who I was looking for. I am all about this. And this episode and this season has gone back and what?
Kate and Toby were not at their granddaughter's birth.
No, they were not. No,
now,
they were
maybe
not.
It was a very quick birth. Maybe they're on their way.
It seemed like it was a quick thing. It seemed like they were giving out the phone. Like they called the sister and it was like kind of like a...
Oh yeah, and she was there and the baby was already born.
Right, so it could be that. It could be that. But it does go to show you, they're setting up expectations for us as viewers.
Like, have we heard Jack-Jack even talk about his parents?
Yes, I think.
In past or present tense?
If I had to put it on a level of yes to no, I'm 90% yes.
And why is he not at Rebecca's deathbed?
Well, because he's not old enough yet. Remember, this is like halfway in between. So I think Jack-Jack would be about 10 years old at this point.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Still, why is he then not?
Well, remember, Toby does say that Jack is on the way. He says, oh, they're on the way. I talked to Jack, they're on the way.
Okay.
So maybe he's talking about
then
the sister.
Who's driving Jack? Oh, yeah, okay. But who's driving him?
Right. I don't know how old the sister is. I feel like they're the same age, but I could be wrong. It could be anything. It really could be anything. And this is us has...
Maybe Miguel's driving.
maybe Miguel is driving. Could be.
Maybe it's Cassidy. Maybe it's some other random person.
Because you don't see the... You haven't seen the wife. You haven't seen Kevin's wife yet in the Silver Fox future.
Maybe it's grown-up Annie.
It could be anybody.
And Peggy.
Peggy. Oh, man.
Tess had a fantastic outfit on in this episode.
Oh, absolutely.
When she breaks up Deja and hashtag who are they, Malik?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to miss you. I don't miss you.
Yeah.
I don't miss you at all, Malik.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Yeah.
All done.
It's the new bye, Ian.
I do. Yes.
Bye, Malik.
I did like how they made sure to lock the house up nice and safe. And the beeping's going on. So we had that going on. Anything else we want to acknowledge? I'm glad that Mickey is in on the fact that St. Louis is happening. I am shocked that Miguel didn't pull Randall aside and say, Randall, next time you try to, like, talk to my wife about a major decision,
yeah,
you should like, Miguel just kind of rolled with it, you know? And Miguel knows the truth. I think Miguel knows the truth. I bet you Rebecca came home and said, you will not believe what happened in New York. Randall tried to tell me to go to the St. Louis place, and then she has the phone call with Randall and then tells Miguel about it, and Miguel's just sitting there as Rebecca's saying, Miguel and I have decided that this is what's best. What does Miguel really think? Or is Miguel sitting there saying, this family is effed.
What the hell?
When is Christmas coming? So I can just sit in the yard for 3 hours.
And just put up my inflatables.
Put in my earbuds and listen to Christmas songs. What?
Can I just wear the hat for Thanksgiving? That's all I want.
He was not there for the awkwardness. He was already in the car. He's like, get me out.
I'm out of here.
Annie, let's go in the car.
I really like season 4 so far. I can't say so far. I really like season 4.
I know,
especially
like, so far
half.
It's done.
I like it. I like it so much because it's taken everything that's come before it, acknowledged it, repurposed it, played with our expectations about it. You know, Jack in the terrible towel, sitting there naked,
yep.
and out comes Rebecca in a very bulky bathrobe that he says, and she was with the cupcake, and she's like, if you think I'm gonna come over here after giving birth to multiple children naked, you've got another thing coming. And then the kids start crying,
and we talk about Kyle.
Yes, thank you for bringing that up.
Who we haven't heard about, haven't acknowledged, and how beautiful
God since season one.
Yes, and how beautiful that Rebecca was able to talk about that, because that obviously is something that parents go through all the time and you don't necessarily talk about. And
absolutely.
For her to be able to say that, and for Jack to say, I think about him all the time too.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And you can see why Kyle really isn't brought up in later seasons or in later in their life, because they have the talk from Dr. K.
Yes.
It's okay. These things happen, the good and the bad, and you just got to let them live together.
Yes.
You got to let them, you can't just shut it out. You can't just say no, but you can't also.
I can't stop looking. We're in our studio right now, and Blake has like a screen show of slides, and each time there's a picture of Jack in the towel. It's bright yellow, and I just have to glance over.
And, you know, Milo is, you know, he's a little easy on the eyes. I'm not going to lie.
Yep.
He's a little easy on the eyes.
There you go.
Even on my eyes, he's a little easy on the eyes. But they've gone back and they've revisited all of these things that I really love. Whether it was, you know, talking about the dojo, you know, and what they did with Randall and why, like, they questioned why they didn't go back. Or if it was Randall talking about Rebecca and how that affects him with William. And even like in the swimming pool, like revisiting the swimming pool earlier in this season, all the characters that we've come to know, even revisiting the Who Were They characters in this episode, mm-hmm. and how they've made an impact on our main Pearson life family. Special.
It is.
It really is special. I think, you know, This Is Us has the tendency to want to grow, and it should, but ultimately it always comes back to the big three.
Mm-hmm.
And it always comes back to the nuclear Pearson clan. And I think if the show has to continue and get on the footing that it needs to be, it needs to really keep us involved in the nuclear Pearsons.
I think they are going to, except they keep adding in these people who I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah.
At least, sister makes sense because she's going to be added into Kate and Toby.
Yep.
We also were introduced to the doctor who for a long time you and I thought was Dr. K. because he calls the horse a lemon.
Yes, right. That's true.
We're like, who is this guy? Why is he so calm? Oh my God, he said the word lemon. He must be Dr. K.
What if he's Dr. K's... Oh no, it couldn't be it. I was going to say, what if he's the daughter's husband? Remember how he said, Dr. K says, oh, 25 years later, I danced with my daughter.
He's not the right age.
He's not. That's what I was just going to say. He ain't the right age.
He's like...
Unless he's Dr. K's grandkid.
He could be his grandkid. On the other side, on the other coast? They're in LA.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
That would be really weird.
It would be
weird. If his grandson delivers a Pearson.
Yeah, that would be weird. I don't think that's the case. I was looking... I saw the name on the doctor's coat. Mm-hmm. I couldn't make it out. I know his name's George, but I couldn't make out the last name on the coat.
But maybe we're going to be spending a lot of time with him as Madison and Kevin go through this pregnancy.
Yeah.
And
since they're revisiting a lot of these thematic things and revisiting what makes This Is Us special, I wouldn't be surprised if Madison and Kevin have a similar relationship to this, to George, than what Jack and Rebecca have to Dr. K.
Yeah.
I feel like we're probably going to get the same thing here.
Okay.
I agree.
That's how at least it was leading us to feel.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he'll play a larger role in season 5.
And I just like that there was a horse.
Some really cool connections that I saw also. Yeah, it was cool that they had horses. I'm telling you, they write it for us. They write for us. I guarantee you that they do. The whole movie of Pregnant Rebecca, it's actually from The Big Day, that episode.
Oh, wow.
And the three-layer birthday cake was actually introduced in the episode Three Sentences.
Wow.
So just want to throw that out there.
Continuity. Show Bible.
I know. Gotta get on the show Bible. That's what the story editors are for. Any other questions, comments, concerns that you got about this?
No, I'm feeling great.
All right. You ready for... Because we're at about an hour 6 right now.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready.
You ready? Okay. If we miss anything, write us, talk to us. We're here. We're here to have fun and chat with you about This Is Us during the break of This Is Us. Remember, there are 2 more seasons of This Is Us coming, which means 36 more episodes potentially.
36 more times you get to listen to Blake and I talk about a TV show that makes us cry.
Yes, absolutely. So 36 more potential hours of This Is Us, depending on whether or not we get a shortened season season or season 6.
Here's the thing. Like, This Is Us is a great show that makes you feel connected and makes you feel normal for having emotions or for having some like screwed up times in your life or for fixing relationships. Mm-hmm. This is a great show to recommend to people right now. If you know, you're sitting there and you're sitting on Facebook and you want to write something to cheer people up, you could say, listen, while we're all going through this, let's all leave a comment about what show we can just binge and kind of, you know, enjoy. Recommend This Is Us. And then if you want to, you can recommend our companion podcast to it. But I think that it's a really great show that will help people feel connected.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think this is one of those shows that can help people feel connected, especially during this time.
Yeah.
Especially during this time, and just remember relationships and how important they are. Oh, one last thing that the slideshow up here on our screen
reminded
me. Do you want to see more of Jack and the wife?
Nope.
Really? Really?
Yeah. Too many people, man.
Wow.
I am in. I believe their love. I think they're sweet. I think they're tender. There's too many Pearsons floating around right now and too many people I don't know.
Do you have any...
I do like seeing him sing. I think that that's a really cool element that they continue to weave in. So.
Yes, I would agree with you on that one. Some lingering questions. Is okay. Madison the wife? What do you think?
I think yes.
To whom is Nikki married? What do you think?
Don't know. Don't care.
Right. What is Cassidy's role going forward?
Don't know. Don't care as well.
Really? I care. I think she's got a big role to come.
Let me tell you, for all the time that we had to invest in this broad, don't care at all. They have some serious repairing to do if they want me to care about Cassidy whatsoever.
When do Randall and Kevin make up, and do they make up after this conversation?
They make up when Kate dies.
Oh, good one.
You're
good
welcome.
One. Bam! Just like that. A winner! Yep, yep.
You're welcome.
So you think Jet Madison is the wife?
I do. I think that they would actually be a very sweet couple. I think that Madison is good for Kevin and Kevin is good for Madison.
You know, I...
You're on the Cassidy train.
I am way on the... I am take bunkered on Cassidy.
I'm all set with her.
I'm take bunkered.
She can find someone new, okay?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
It's not that I don't like her. I just don't like her. It's not that I don't like her, like, okay, that girl needs to move on. It's just I never was in love with her.
Yeah.
For this show. She's a very complex character. I love her. But while we went through this, I was much more focused on Kevin and Nikki's relationship, and she was just a third wheel.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
I don't really know why she was there.
I'm a little discouraged about this take.
She kind of annoyed me in the sense that, you know, when you're like trying to really have a good friendship with someone,
yep,
and then there's just that friend who's like, oh, you guys going out? Can I go too? You're like, yeah,
sure
you can. And you get along fine, but like you're really connecting with this other person.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what Cassidy was for me.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, all right, fine. All right, you ready for some in or out?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
What's it gonna be, McFly? Are you in or out?
All right, in or out on birthday parties for kids?
In.
I am out. I am out on kid birthday parties.
I bet you had them growing up.
I mean, I did, but like not very many. And even if I did, I don't remember them, so it can't be that good.
I do remember them, and they were amazing, except for the one that I was put time out on.
Stop it. You were put time out on your own birthday?
Okay, think about my mom.
That is true.
And
good
if I misbehaved
point.
And was a spoiled little brat.
Absolutely.
My mom put me in time out for one of my birthdays. It was a birthday party taking place in my house, and we were making bicycle license plates. And I think I complained because I didn't get like the sparkle glue or something. And my mom made me go have time out in my bedroom during my birthday party.
You were making bike license
plates? Okay, do you remember how on your bikes you used to get those beads that would go tick, 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 tick when you rode your bike?
Use baseball cards.
And you could use baseball cards. Yeah. And then you could also make little license plates. So we told everybody to bring their bikes to my house so we could like have a bike decorating party. But then I think it was raining or something, but we still decided to have like a license plate bike decorating party. I don't really know. All I remember from that birthday party was not the presents, not the merriment, just sitting in my room, hugging my Care Bear and crying. But I had many other great birthday parties.
Kid birthday parties suck.
No, they don't.
Especially the ones that are like in like the 3 to 4 range, because you're with all the people that like your kids are like friends with. You get to meet all them parents that you don't want to talk to begin with. And like you don't know, you're not really sure if you're friends or not, so you can't like have actual conversations. And then you're with all the other friends' families, and you're like, okay, do I talk to them?
And then you have like the friends that your kid really likes, and then you're like, do I need to go be cool with their mom and dad? Because I kind of want to be cool with someone else too.
Right.
And then for me, there's one kid that my kid is oil and water with, and I have to sit there the whole birthday party saying, please don't push him, please don't push him, please don't push him in front of all these parents, please don't push him in front of... Shoot, oh my God!
You did it! And then the food always sucks. The food always sucks. It's always kid food.
It's not meant for you.
Exactly. If I'm going to go to a party with a bunch of people I don't know and I don't care about, with a bunch of kids I don't know and I don't care about, in fact, I probably hate half the kids.
Move on.
I want some good food.
Move on.
All right. In or out on horses?
Because our kid... You know what? No, I know why I'm sad.
What?
Because we don't get to throw a birthday party for
That's
my
true.
Son this year, and this was the first year he was actually excited about his birthday. This is us, listeners. If you would like to send our kid a card, please contact Blake.
Yes.
Because we would love for you to send him a little card, because his birthday is April 5th.
Yes.
And this was his first party he was actually excited to plan and do.
Just go to the Mary and Blake website. If you want to send us a card, send it to the address that I have on there on the Mary and Blake website.
It's a little devastating.
He would be very appreciative. I know he would.
Especially if you draw a dragon.
All right. Oh, God, his love of dragons.
What are we talking about?
In or out on horses.
Oh, I hate him.
Really? I'm kind of in on horses.
Oh my God. They're so hot. Their poop is so gross. If you go in a carriage, all you smell is poop. The poop gets stuck a little bit in their tail. They're
the
high maintenance. They always have foot problems. Like, they look gorgeous. I think they're very pretty. I love pictures of them like running in like the Wild West, like just in these like herds of horses. I like to watch them on screen. I like to see people ride them. I do not.
Is that the appropriate term, herd? Herd of horses?
I don't even know.
Is it, would it be a gaggle?
That's geese.
Sorry, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so horses, I mean, I don't really. They, you know, one of the other things too is they kind of scare me. They're
really?
Very
Why?
Strong. They're very strong and big.
They're like super strong and big.
Yeah, I could just picture them kicking me and I bruise very easily. Okay, moving on.
All right, in a row on triple layer birthday cake.
All in.
I am all in on triple layer.
Oh my God.
Cake.
Once I was like, Neapolitan, what? Yes.
I love how the cake is, I mean, it's Neapolitan, obviously, but it's pink for Kate and chocolate for Randall and white for Kevin. Like, I just thought that was really cute. Thought that was really cute.
It was really cute.
In or out on Madison being the mom?
In.
I'm out.
I'm so in.
I mean, I know, I guess you have to be in, but I'm out on it. I just wish it was
Cassidy. I didn't want Cassidy. She's too complicated right now to be having a baby.
Sophie shows back up in this episode. Is it just to laugh at Kevin's
nipple
advertisement? Is it just for that and just
to make you think, is this Mama Mia, but backwards? I'm telling you. Is it like, do all of these, Mama's gonna have a baby with the same daddy nanny. Like, that's what it was.
In or out on big, bulky robes?
So in.
I'm out on big, bulky robes.
And yet I wear mine all the time.
I know you do. Oh, God, I hate it.
Then you know what you can do?
What's that?
Let me put the heat up more.
It's already up. You have it up at 70 all the time.
No, not at night. I put it down to 67.
Oh,
during
no,
the day,
you don't.
I put it
no
up to
chance.
Oh.
No chance.
Oh, how much do you want to bet what it is right now?
It's because I probably put it there.
Nope, you didn't. You're welcome.
Why can't we just keep it at a flat 66?
Then I need to be in the robe all the time, even in bed.
No, I refuse to do that.
Well, there you go.
I refuse to
do
that.
Okay, so
in or out on me wearing a terrible towel and only a terrible towel.
Out.
Thanks, appreciate that.
You know what happened?
What's that?
Daddy!
Yes. Daddy's naked! That may or may not have happened today. I wasn't wearing a towel. I came out of the shower. All right, yeah. You ready for hot takes?
Yeah, you were not sitting with a terrible towel.
No, I was not.
Blake's not...
What?
Yeah, Blake didn't know both kids had climbed up into our room, and we have a second bathroom on Blake and my bedroom floor, and the kids are both in the bath in our bed, just like cuddling and reading. And Blake comes out of the shower, just strolls into the room in his birthday suit, and our 6 and 4 year old were like, "Daddy,
Daddy's naked.
You're naked." Oh. He just goes, "Yep,
yep."
And I took a shower
because you weren't supposed to be in here. Thanks, Mom. Oh, my poor son. He's gonna have so much therapy.
Quarantine life.
He's gonna have so much therapy. All right, you ready for hot takes?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. All right, what's your hot take? I see one in here for you. What do you got?
Oh, I just put Nikki Ring, meaning. Nikki gets married.
That's not even a lukewarm take.
That's called an observation. We need a sound effect for an observation. I don't think I meant to put it at that part of the Google document. Not a real hot take.
Not a hot take.
Okay, so.
All right, my hot take is I am tripling down on Kate being dead.
Oh my God!
In the future, I've already doubled down.
I mean, I'm pretty much.
I'm
there.
Triple stamping a double stamp. Okay, for those Dumb and Dumber fans out there, I am triple stamping a double stamp.
I don't want her to die because that's just not okay.
And it's absolutely confirmed by Toby in this episode.
Why?
Because he says to her.
To who?
He says to Kate, "Listen, I haven't been the best version of myself."
Yeah.
Oh God, heartbreaking when he says that because I've been there and I know what that's like. But he says,
you have said that.
I haven't been the best version of myself. And he says, but you know what? I'm here and you're here. We're together.
And then Blake and I thought she was going to die in a car
accident. And that's what matters. Like, he is here. We're here. And that's it. That's all that matters. And in the middle of all this, I'm thinking, Kate's not going to be there eventually. Kate's going to die. This is why I know she's going to die, because Toby has this line of, we're here. That's all that matters.
You don't have the big three anymore.
That's what happens. That's what happens.
Some people think that she doesn't show up in the future because she has a dramatic weight loss and they're waiting for that to be like a grand reveal.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the case.
I think she dies too.
I think she's dead. Okay, ready to close this bad
boy
up?
Maybe she's living a beautifully happy life, and her and Madison have taken Kevin's money, and they've bought a nice place in Hawaii where they just sit on the porch all day, like with SPF, but sunning themselves safely.
All right, you ready to close this out?
Yes.
Let's close out the bad boy.
Maybe they have brunch. What? Oh my God, way to make everyone cry.
Blue skies smiling at me.
Goodness, Blake, if people didn't cry enough during the episode.
Oh, yeah.
Just picturing fictional Dr. K singing this to the belly.
Oh,
I can't.
In the buttery soft voice of Bing. Hold on, let's just enjoy it. Ready? Let this roll.
Bluebirds singing a song.
It's like butter and bacon grease on top of
pub cheese.
That's what that is. Butter and bacon grease with pub cheese.
Are we hungry? Yes.
Damn my diet.
Did my kids eat all of the snacks in the house and it's only day what?
Day like 6?
12? No. Yeah. Oh no, honey. It's well over 10.
Is it really?
I don't even know what day of the week it is. Now that This Is Us is gone, I don't even know. It's Wednesday. This is the last week I'll actually know it's Wednesday thanks to This Is Us.
Yeah.
Okay. So on this note, my friends, you can find Blake and I at maryandblake.com. I'm Mary and Blake on social media, because even though This Is Us is gone,
we're not.
We are not. And especially with everything that's going on in the world right now, we surely will not be going anywhere.
No. We'll be doing lives a lot, whether it's for Outlander or even some of the other things that we have planned during this process. If you're listening to this as these episodes are happening, you know what's happening with the virus that shall not be named. Everyone is looking for some kind of connection. And we're thinking that maybe we'll do some watch parties. We'll do some watch parties for some movies that people really like. So if you have a recommendation for us, please send it in. Send it into.
I do not like this part of this.
Oh, sorry. It's like it's not bad.
No, the girls.
Okay, yeah.
Part I did not like.
So send some recommendations into us. Something that you would like us to watch together, and analyze and talk about during this part we're looking for a human connection. So Mary and Blake for all the social media, and that's that. That's that. That's all I got.
Okay, my friends.
It's sad. I don't want to let go of This Is Us this season. It was so good, the back half. And in the front half. The front half was really good, too. But it really coalesced. Really coalesced in the back.
Well done, This Is Us.
This was one of the better seasons.
Agreed. Cheers. A big cheers.
Yeah. If you had to rate the seasons...
I'm not ready to do that yet.
Yeah, I'm not there yet, I don't think.
Okay, my friends.
All right, that's it.
On that note, blue skies are coming, everyone. Stay safe.
Yep.
Know that we love you. My name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
And this is us, too.
Nothing but blue skies.